2 Chronicles chapter 32, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading the New Living Translation tonight. It says, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, king of Assyria came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that he had come and that they intended to wage war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city, and they helped him. They gathered a large group of people who blocked all the springs and the stream that flowed through the land. Why should the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water, they said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building the towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power." Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a greater power that is with us than is with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. So tonight, I'm excited because we start a new theme, and it's called My Garden. Turn to your neighbor and say, my garden. It's not your garden, it's my garden. My garden, my garden. It's not yours, it's my garden. And that's why I actually have this lovely piece of wood frame up here. It's not to put babies in here, but if you bring the twins, they could sit in here if they want to. But through the month, you're going to see, we started tonight, and me and Micah put it together this morning, but as the month goes on, we're actually going to add dirt, and then we're going to add some seeds, we're going to add some plants, because we're going to put together a little garden. And so tonight, as we break into my garden, you're going to see this story that I just read, and then also visualize the garden of our lives. So the story we opened up with 2 Chronicles says that King Hezekiah, he was building up the walls. And he was building up the walls. Why was he building up the walls? Because there was a king who wanted to come and wanted to attack Jerusalem once again. You have to sometimes, I don't know if you ever had that friend in school who always got beat up. But, you know, there's always one kid who always gets picked on. And you feel bad because they're always picked on. They're always made fun of. Right? There's always bullies, you know, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, even today. There's still bullies out there, right? There's always somebody picked on. The Jewish people seem to always get in trouble. I don't know if you notice that. They're in constant, you know, wars and battles and people who wanted to take hold of them. They wanted to destroy the temple of God. They wanted to, you know, kill the people and take the plunder. Constantly in battle, out of battle, in battle, out of battle. And so tonight, the story, it opens up and they find themselves just about to be in another battle. So what are they going to do? They just get back to the land. Surely before this, they just got back from captivity, and they get to Jerusalem, and they needed to build up the walls. They needed to make the city strong so that if someone was coming, that they were protected, right? You build up the walls of the city so that you are protected. So they started building up the walls. What you love about Hezekiah, it says that he worked really, really, really hard. This man had passion, and he had enthusiasm, and he inspired every single person because they had a lot of work to do. How many of us know that in life there is a lot of work to do? Even to the day we die and we move on from this life to the next life, there is a lot of work to do. There is no rest for any of us, I'm sorry. There is a lot of work to do. Think about getting into the city, and there's no walls. The temple was destroyed. People are gone. People are coming back. This man had a job to inspire the community to rebuild, first to rebuild the temple, to clean out the temple, to get all the sin that was in the temple, to get rid of the sin, to rebuild it, to cleanse it. And as he did that, here comes King of Assyria to attack him. And so what did he need to do? He needed to prepare now for battle. And as he's preparing for battle, he is... Think about how many of us know that lifting stones and bricks and all the things that you had to do, and I actually have pictures, Jose, or actually, no, it's Bella, if you want to put up those pictures of the walls, and you can see, maybe, Those are green walls, huh? They look like little grass right there. That's the grass that's going to grow in here soon. Those pictures up there. It's not opening. Okay. Not the ones of Joel's kids. You got to below that. They got little walls on there. Those ones should be fine. But anyway, if you look them up and you look up Hezekiah's walls, they're still there. And they're small in comparison to the new walls that are built. But they built these walls, you know, with bricks and rocks and everything else that they can find in there. And they weren't very big, but they still were a wall that was built. Turn to your neighbor and say, it was a wall that was built. Why would any city ever, ever need to build a wall? Protect what's within, right? How many of us know that the temple for Jerusalem, for Jewish people, for the Israelites, the temple of God, how many of us know that the temple was very important? They put so much, obviously, there was gold, there was silver, all of those things, there was incense, all the things that they had inside the temple. This was a place of worship. This was a place of sacrifice. All the things that happened for the Jewish people was so vitally important. To them, there's something that they wanted to protect. They wanted to die to protect. But then, obviously, it's their families, their friends, their siblings, everything that is precious to them that is in the city, right? To defend, absolutely, defend every single thing that God had given to them. I loved how when the king of Assyria was coming down, Hezekiah had this idea, listen, we're going to get into battle. We need to set ourselves up. We need to do every single thing that we can. And so he plugged up the water so that when the enemy came in, they did not have any water source. I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before, but usually after a few minutes, you can get a little thirsty, right? How many of us have been in a fight or just wrestling with our friends? You get thirsty, right? And so the king, Hezekiah, he had to do everything he can to set his team, to set the Jewish people up for success. So he blocked all the water. He plugged up the water on the outside of the city so that the enemy had no access to the water at all. He built a tunnel that was 1,740 feet and 6 feet tall. He started with two men. One who started on this side of the city, and one that started on the other side of the city, and they started digging until they met each other. That tunnel still stands today, doing every single thing that he possibly could. So tonight I wanted to share that story just to set up a picture of walls, of city, of being protected, just to get to our lovely wood box. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's my lovely wood box. Lovely wooden box. God has given us all a garden. We know in the beginning that God created man and woman, and he gave them a garden, the Garden of Eden, right? But God has also given you a garden. God has also given you a box or a frame. And so tonight, I use this as a picture of our lives. And God has supplied every single thing that we need to build a beautiful garden. You know, you think about 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And as we start and we look at our garden and our box, we understand that this body that we have, the garden, our body, our life, everything that is given to us, it is meant to carry the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19, a temple who lives in us. Everywhere we go and everything that we do, understanding that this body now, this body that wasn't made by human hands, it was made by God. Our bodies were put together, right? It was formed and shaped by God. That it carries the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a ghost. It's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. That these bodies that we have, it carries the Holy Spirit of God. And understand that we don't belong to ourselves, for God bought us with such a high price. Honor God with your body. And so as we start to look at what it takes to build, if you were going to build a home little garden, some people, they block off sections, right? If you're going to put a little garden in your backyard or on the side, a lot of people will block off a certain section, right? And they guard a certain section. And maybe they want to guard it for certain reasons. And so tonight, as you think about your life, as you think about all that God has given to you, there's a few things that I think from this story that God points out for our lives and our gardens. And then the first thing is to be guarded. When we read the story of Hezekiah, he had to guard his family. He had to do what he can to guard the temple, to guard his family, to guard his brothers, his sister, and everything. Do we know how to live a guarded and protected life? We're going to put in here something that was super precious, something that meant so much to us. You would want to block it in. How many of us have safes, right? Some people have safes still to this day because they put money in there. Some people put guns in there, right? Some people have gun safes because they don't want their spouse to get in there and shoot them, right? But some people have safes for guns. Some people have safes for cash. They're protecting something within, guarding. And so the first thing that I want to talk about in our garden to live a life that God has given to us, the garden life that God has given to us, is do you know how to live a life that is guarded? We know that lovely verse in Proverbs that says, guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. And I have to say, I think some of us know how to live a guarded life and some of us don't. I think that some of us, we don't live very guarded. That sometimes we walk around and how many of us know that the devil, he is so good at what he does? And so when you're having a good moment, when you're having a good day, he knows this is the perfect opportunity to shoot a little arrow at you. You can't see it. You don't know when it's coming. You might even hear a little sissing in the right? And then all of a sudden, bam, you get hit. If we don't know how to live a guarded life at any minute, if we're not living protected, if we're not living guarded, if we're not guarding our heart and mind and soul, the things that God has given to us to protect, says Proverbs, if you don't guard your heart, it determines the course of your life. If you don't know how to live guarded, if you don't know how to live protecting yourself, you're open. You're open for anyone to do whatever it is that they want to do to you. Guard your heart. Guard your life. Guard your garden. For us as parents, how many of us know that as parents, we have to guard our kids? If you're married, you guard your spouse, right? If kids, protect your kids, your home. How many of us, we want to protect every single thing? How many of us worry about losing the stuff we have? How many of us worry about, you know, when, again, for some of us in here, when you had kids, and now you, some don't have kids in the house, right? But you still worry about the stuff that's in your house. You still worry about being broken into. You still worry about a thief. And if you've ever, you know, some of us maybe have been broken into. I know our house was broken into a few years ago. You feel weird. You feel violated when someone comes in and they break in and steal cash and they steal computers and they steal stuff. It just doesn't feel right when someone comes in and takes what doesn't belong to them. It's something that you worked for, right? But, see, many of us spiritually, we let the devil rob us every single day because we're not living guarded. God wants you to live like the verse that Joel read, Jeremiah 29. He wants you to be blessed. He does want you to prosper. He wants you to feel the hope. He doesn't want you just to see it. He doesn't want us just to read it and talk about it. Most of us have memorized that verse. We know Jeremiah 29:11. We have heard it 300 million times. And so when life hits and life doesn't seem right, it's like, where's that hope? God, where's that future? Right? We know that verse. We know what's going on. But for some of us, we don't get to that point because we're not living a guarded life. How do we not live a guarded life? We don't live a guarded life sometimes because of what we think and what we say. Sometimes how many of us know that our mouths can just run a mile a minute? How many of us know that sometimes what we say to people, what we say to other people, we should be guarded? We do not have to tell every single person in the world our life's story. Right, when I first got saved and I 100% surrendered to God, there was things that I did in my past that for a short time, I was proud of some of the bad things that I did. And so when I got saved and I'd share my testimony, you share it, but you're almost smiling and almost laughing as you remember some of the things of your past. And I remember God one day rebuking me and saying, there is nothing that you did that is worth sharing. Sometimes we don't realize that there are things that we say and do, it's not meant for everybody. not meant for you to share with every single person on this planet. God has given you a garden to live, to protect, to take care of. And the first thing that God is asking us to do, just like these walls that were built this morning, to start living a guarded life. Not every single person needs to know every single little thing about you. They don't. You have to guard yourself. You need to guard the people who are in your life. This is my garden box. This is what God's given to me to protect. Secondly, there's that lovely word of being a good steward. How many of us know that good word of being a good steward, to take care of, to take responsibility, that heavy word of working hard of everything that God's given to us? In the very beginning, and you see that beautiful picture of Adam, God gave him the world. It was his first job. He had to name every single animal. Do you think that was pleasant and fun? I mean, sure, maybe hanging out with the dinosaurs, maybe he got to go swim with the whales for a little bit and ride some dinosaurs, so maybe he had a little fun in naming everybody. But to name every single animal, as a guy, how many of us after 10, we were bored and like, okay, can I move on to something else? You know, sometimes for us guys with ADD and we get bored quickly, it's like, I need to move on to something else. Being a good steward, working hard with every single thing and passion that God has put inside of us to take care of, to live, number one, a guarded life, but to live a good steward of every single thing that God has given to us. How many of us know that we make mistakes, right? How many of us know that that's the beautiful part about life, that we get to continue to learn, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you get to learn. You look smarter than last week. I can tell you just look smarter. You look smarter. I can tell it by looking in your eyes. You are smarter than what you were last week. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now listen, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So if the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, does anything belong to you? No. So that means that everything that you have is his. He just put you in charge of taking care of it. And if he put you in charge and taking care of it, what kind of grade do you give yourself in taking care of the garden so far that he's given you to take care of? The earth is the Lord's everything. Not 10%, not 50% is the Lord's. 100% belongs to God. Yes, how many of us realize we get a job, we get to buy a car, we get to do this, we get to buy a house, we get this, yeah, yeah, and we're thinking, yeah, and we're building it, and we're doing this. And at any minute, you stop and say, this isn't mine. I'm only passing through this life. God's moving me on to a much better place. While I'm here, can I collect a few things? Absolutely. But it's not mine. It all belongs to God. God has put you here to be a good steward of every single thing that he puts in front of you. Luke 16:10 says this, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Matthew 25:29 says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Just as important as living a guarded life, to learn how to be a good steward, not only for yourself, for your spouse, for your kids, but most importantly, to be a good steward for God. Be a good steward for God. He does want to bless you. But in that blessing, in that process, is learning how to be a good steward of every single thing that he gives to you. In this garden box, how many of us, you know, next week we're going to put a little dirt in here. We're going to throw dirt at each other and have a little fun. But what you put in here and what grows in here, many of us know that life is better with a little color, right? Isn't it nice to have a little red, a little blue, a little purple, a little this, a little that? Isn't that nice and beautiful? And right? It's so nice. And what you put inside your garden, it's important. What you select into your garden, it's important. And then you're going to put walls around it. You're going to frame it because you want to protect the colorful things that you put in your garden. But these walls, they're meant to protect what's on the inside, but the walls are also meant to protect you from what's on the outside. Walls are also meant to protect us from what's on the outside. What God has given to you on the inside, it is vitally important. You all have a beautiful heart, mind, and soul. God put you together perfectly, right? Every single thing that he has given to you, it is perfect how he gave it to you. And the outside, everything on the outside, God loves how he made you. God is happy. God smiles when he sees you. When you dance, when you sing, when you clap, when you give that $1 million that Joel was talking about, all those little things that you do, God loves every single thing about you. He does. And he cares about what happens on the inside of your life, but he also cares about what happens on the outside. So there's two things I want to talk about that are really, really important. Because, you see, if you were to take this and put a beautiful garden together, if you were to put awesome little plants in here, and they grew up, and they're colorful, and every morning you go outside, and it brings you so much joy. This is my garden. This is my box. But what if you had a rodent that came through and just dug everything up? What if you had something that came in, a mean dog, like a Doberman pincher or something, came through and just stamped, you know, ran through your garden and tore it all up? Wouldn't that really frustrate you when something destroys what you feel belongs to you? Does it really make you upset? I know I'm the type of person, I really take care of my stuff for the most part. I try to. And in taking care of my stuff, when other people don't take care of my stuff, right? How many of you have ever been frustrated? Have you ever lost your temper or your cool for a second when something does not go the way that it should go, right? And if you spend all your time, if you spend, let's say, 20 hours putting together a beautiful garden, and the next day you wake up and it's all destroyed, I wonder how many of us, the first word isn't going to be thank you, Jesus, coming out of our mouth. I wonder how many of us can think of a lot of other words that we want to just let go, right? It's important what God has given to us on the inside, but it's also important to focus to keep out what needs to be kept out of our lives. And so one of the things I want to talk about is inspiring questions. We know that in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, what was the question that the devil had for Eve? Did God really say? Did God really say this? Did God really do this? Did God really say, don't touch this tree here in the garden? Did God really say that? Genesis 3:1, it says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say, you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? What we're not careful to today, in my mind as Christians, is we're not careful with the inspiring questions that the devil asks. There's nothing wrong with having questions, and there is nothing wrong with having doubt as long as you take that doubt and question to God. But for many people in our world today, the devil is inspiring questions that are leading to harmful things. How many of us know that in this story, that in the beginning, as the devil inspired Eve, she took the fruit, she ate the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband, and he took the fruit, and he ate the fruit. And next thing you know, God's coming down, and he's spanking them, and he's kicking them out of the garden, and they had to put clothes on. We thank God for that, right? But they had to put clothes on. Next thing you know, girls had pain and giving birth to kids, all those horrible things, right? God sent man to work every day from the sweat of his brow. Why? Because the devil asked an inspiring question to Eve, which led to sin. An inspiring question. And what I want to propose to you tonight is there is a rebel Christianity problem in our world today. If you look up the word rebel, it means bitterness, and not only bitterness, but a concrete bitterness. And so if you think about the story in the beginning with Eve, what did the devil do? He asked an inspiring question, which caused Eve to become bitter because she couldn't eat the fruit in which she wanted. Because the devil's saying, look at this beautiful fruit. Why wouldn't you want this beautiful fruit? This is beautiful. This is amazing. This is everything you want and more. Eve becoming bitter. Why? That's right. Why would God say that? Why would God not let me eat of this fruit? And so there was this bitterness that started to take over. And then all of a sudden, rebellion started to creep into the heart of Eve to where it led to disobedience. Rebel Christianity. Rebel Christianity today, in my mind, is Christians who do not take the Word of God seriously enough. God's Word is meant to be taken very serious. But yet, how many Christians, how many friends do we know who are living in sin, profess to be Christians? How many people do we know, even if you just think about this for a second, and I can make some people mad, tithing. There are so many people today, I can't tell you, hundreds of thousands of people today who don't believe in tithing, even though the Bible talks about tithing. Now, let me ask you this. How many times did God explain in the Bible how to have sex? God did explain tithing, 10%. Maybe it's not mentioned 3 million times, but all of us in this room have probably figured out how to have sex, right? God didn't need to tell you. You figured it out? Most of you in this room have figured that part out, right? So you did not need, you said you failed. I'm sorry, Jose. You learned how to figure that on your own, but why is it that we feel certain things when it comes to the Bible? It's like, oh, God, I wish you would just spell it out even more clearly. If you take tithing, just for instance, in the Old Testament, yes, it talks about tithing. And what do people say today? People say, oh, I can just give wherever I want to. I can do whatever I want to. A rebel Christianity where I can take the Word of God and I can make it however I want to. I can shape the Word of God however I want to. I can change the words in there however I want to. I can do whatever I want to. A rebel Christianity is all over the place. We have allowed the devil these inspiring questions, inspiring us to disobey the Word of God. If you think about the story that Joel used with the widow, it says that she gave everything that she had. Jesus could have paused right there and said, that was wrong. She shouldn't have done that. How come we don't have that in the Bible? Jesus could have said, this poor widow. You know, God says he loves widows, right? You take care of the orphans and the widows, right? God says that in the Bible. Jesus, his half-brother James said, take care of the orphans and widows. This lady gave everything that she had to live on. How come Jesus didn't stop her saying, no, you're giving too much. You're giving too much. Because we as people today, we like to be inspired with things that make us feel comfortable. And the devil knows your comfort level, and the devil knows your comfort zone. He knows what makes you feel comfortable. He knows what you feel. And so what is he doing? He wants to take the Word of God, and he wants to twist it to make you a rebel Christian. There are so many rebel Christians today. Proverbs, just to keep with tithing for a second, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best thing of every single thing that you produce. So many different things that have creeped into Christianity today. How many of us have seen, even with COVID, there's people who don't believe in church anymore, people who don't believe in coming to church. They don't believe in church. They don't believe in coming to church. They don't believe in fellowship. They can just fellowship through their phones, right? They can just fellowship through here. If you take a step back, see the devil's plan in last year alone, 2020, separating Christian people. Christians are meant to be together. We're meant to fellowship. We're meant to inspire one another. We're meant to encourage one another. We're meant to be there for one another every single week. We're meant to share our faith and our testimonies with each other. We are meant to be together. The devil is out there, and he is absolutely trying to destroy the church of God. And so as we talk about being a rebel Christian today, there are people who are rebel Christians in a lot of little things, a lot of little principles, in tithing, in church, in life, in living together, in sex before marriage, all these little things. How many things over and over and over and over again are people breaking to get today? And they're saying, you know what? God will just forgive me. How many Christians say, God will just forgive me? How many of us feel that we're nice people? How many of us feel that we're nice people? Let me ask you a question. And I don't want to sound mean, but if someone comes to you for advice, let's say you feel that you can take the Word of God and maybe just twist the Word of God just a little bit because it feels right to you and feels right for them. What if, for a second, think about this. Many of us know that pastors are definitely judged for what we preached, right? So what is it my job to do? It's my job to preach the Word of God. But just as a pastor needs to stand before God and answer for every single thing that I speak, you as a believer, you get to as well. You get to as well. Every single believer can stand before God. And I want to think, how many of us have ever shared something with somebody that actually went against what the Word of God says. If the Bible says tithe 10% and someone asks you about tithing, you need to share what the Word of God says. If someone comes to you and they say, I can't stop sinning, then you don't encourage the sin. You tell them they need to knock it off or you'll chop it off for them, right? We must put an end to stop encouraging people to be rebel Christians. There are so many rebel Christians today. And honestly, I think there's rebel pastors today who are encouraging people to go against what the Word of God says. Bitterness is the root of being a rebel. First Samuel, Samuel the prophet was talking with the king, and he says to him, this is something very harsh. He says, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Even last week, I don't know if you remember, Joel showed a story about somebody in his family who doesn't want to have kids because they're thinking, I don't know how I can bring kids into today's world. It's horrible. It's evil. It's dark outside. That is a direct rebellion of what God asked believers to do. What did he ask us to do? He asked us to fill and populate the earth. He asked you to fill, populate the earth, and to bring godly offspring into this place. So for kids and Christian people today who are saying, I don't know if I want to bring a kid into this world. It's crazy. It's this, that, and that. Yes, you have to. You need to do your part. You need to raise up someone who's bright and strong, who can stand for themselves and be confident in the Word of God. It's crazy outside, but you know what? It only gets crazier if the generation of Christians, if the people with strong voices, if they just slowly start to back away, if the Christians who preach the Word of God just slowly start to back away, and it becomes quieter and softer, it absolutely becomes more darker outside. We have to do our part to live and to preach the gospel. Mark 9:42 says, if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. Don't you love the language that Jesus used? He's crazy and awesome and amazing. I can tell you, there's definitely times in my life where I've given bad advice to someone. I've definitely encouraged them. That it confronted them did not help them one bit. It didn't help them one bit. Jesus said, if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to sin, there are people who are going to come to you as soon as you leave church tonight and ask you for advice. As soon as you wake up tomorrow, you're going to be asked for advice. As soon as tomorrow hits, you'll be confronted with some situation where you have the opportunity to stand straight on truth and preach the Word of God, or do I just bend a little bit? Because I don't want to offend somebody. Don't worry about offending somebody. We have to be preachers of the truth. So as we're breaking down our garden tonight, and we know that we talked about that we need to build walls so that it's guarded, that it's protected. We have to protect what's on the inside. We have to be a good steward of all that God gives us because the earth belongs to the Lord. Then we talked about just as important what's on the inside is protecting and keeping us safe from what's on the outside. And what's safe on the outside to get away, right? And so one of those things was, again, the devil's inspiring questions. Secondly, it's false teachers. Jesus said, Matthew 7:15, he says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down, thrown in the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. We have so many false teachers and preachers today who are not correctly giving out the Word of God to people. They're not. And one of the biggest ways that I see and I feel in my mind is many of us, we all know that we're born selfish, right? The Bible says we're born sinners, we are born selfish. So it's our natural tendency to be selfish people. But ask yourself, was Jesus selfish or selfless? Selfless, right? But there is a selfish gospel that's being preached today. There's a selfish gospel that's being preached for you, to make you just feel better for you. And so, again, we're thinking garden, we're thinking about who do I have to keep out? I have to keep out people who are not giving me the correct words that God wants me to hear. There's safety within walls. safety. How many of us feel safe in the homes that we live in? How many of us feel truly safe where we live? How many of us, every single night we go to bed, it's like, I'm safe. Nothing's going to happen to me. I am okay. Everything is fine. Everything's perfect. Everything's good. Do you know that there's safety within the walls that God's given to you? The verse that Joel read, 29:11, hope and a future, there is safety in the walls that God has given to you. All of us have our own walls. All of us have our own walls. We all have our own garden. And what God wants you to do, he doesn't want you to peek out and look at someone else's garden. He wants you to be safe and sound with your own garden. Because a lot of us, we spend so much time peeking over the fence, over the neighbor's yard, and saying, wow, man, they just got a pool put in. Man, oh, look what our neighbor, look what, I was going to say Joe, but I always say Joe. So how about Bill? Look what neighbor Bill got today. Look what he put in. Oh, my gosh. How many people are constantly looking outside of their own walls, what other people have in their walls, and get jealous? Instantly, that's not mine. In relationships, in marriages, in families, and in homes, all around the world, so many people not happy and not content within the walls that God has given to you. God has given you life, right? What does God want you to do with the life that he's given to you? He wants you to flourish within your box. He wants you to flourish within your space. He wants you to take every single thing that you have, and he wants you to take it and make it your garden. Make it your best. Bring color and life to every single situation. Like Jesus said, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. He wants you to bring that to your garden box. He wants you to bring his way. He wants you to bring the truth, and he wants you to bring his life into your garden box so that every single thing that's in your garden box is touched and ministered to by God. It is your box that is given to you, your garden box. You have your own special, unique box that God has given to you. And there is safety, there is peace, there is happiness, there is contentment. There are so many good things that if we learn to just stay within the box. This is my box, and I don't need to look out of my box. I need to just stay in with what God has given to me. So as we wrap up this morning, it's not this morning, this evening. As we wrap up tonight, hopefully morning soon, right, Joel? As we wrap up, we know that's going to be in a few weeks. They're actually putting a building in between here and the house over there that's supposed to get done in a few weeks. So as soon as that building gets finished, then we can move to Sunday mornings. So very, very exciting. We're excited that we get to be here bright and early and that Joel gets to bring donuts. It's one of the most important things of all is donuts. Sunday morning service. What's better than coffee and a donut on Sunday morning, right? And then Jesus and the Word, yes. But donuts first. So tonight as we wrap up, start a new theme, which is called My Garden Box. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's my garden. It's my garden. My garden. This is my box. It's my life. This is what God's given to me to guard. This is what God's given to me to protect. This is what God's given me to stand and fight for. We read that story in the beginning, and we're actually going to close with it. 2 Chronicles, if you have your Bibles, 31. It says, in this way, King Hezekiah handed the distribution throughout all Judah, doing what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. In all that he did in the service of the temple of God, in all that he did in the service of the temple of God, and his efforts to follow God's laws and commands, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. And as a result, he was very, 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 what? Successful. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8, and this was the last message that he spoke as we read this evening. It says 2 Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army. For there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they're just merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight for our battles for us. And Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. And so as we close tonight and as we wrap up, I want you to think about the people that were with Hezekiah for a minute. Hezekiah, how did he have so much faith? How was he so strong and confident? How did he know that the battle belongs to the Lord? How did he know that within him? How many of us have ever been in a conversation and listened to someone who was maybe sharing with somebody else. You know, even just tonight, think about Joel talking about being a grandpa. Now, if we were to vote on how we thought, did Joel sound like he was really happy to be a grandpa, or was he not really? He just brought it up because he has to. Most of us in this room would say, I think he sounded pretty happy to be a grandpa, right? That's nice. Woo! People can tell in your speech if you really believe what you say you believe. People can tell by the way that you act, by the way that you live, by the way you take care of your garden box, the way that you guard yourself, you're not an open book for the whole world, the way that you protect yourself, the way that you protect what's in this box, the way that you take care of what's on the inside, but you also have learned to keep out certain things as well. People can tell you really believe what you say you believed. And the people who were with Hezekiah, they listened because they believed and their hearts were strengthened. Why? Because they saw a man who loved God. They saw a man, a king, really loved God. The first verse that we read at the end here says that he gave God and was seeking God with what? His whole entire heart. If you truly want to do the best that you can in this life, if you do want to see God's best and his blessing over your garden box, it starts with every single day making sure your whole heart devotion is to who? God alone. Stand with us. It's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful thought to think about. Hey, this is my garden box. And right now, this garden box looks empty. You know, there's a lot of people in our world today, this is how they live, empty. They're empty inside because they don't have love. They don't know love. There's so many people who don't know and feel love every single day. They don't have hope. They don't know what hope feels like. They don't know if they're going to live another week. They don't know if they're going to make it another year. They don't think they could survive another 2020, right? How many people are saying, there's no way I can make 2021. If it's anything like 2020, I just want out now, right? How many people have committed suicide in the past year? How many people said, you know what, I'm just going to end my life because there's nothing I have. There's nothing I can give anymore. I'm just done. Because their garden box, it's empty. There's nothing there. There's a lot of empty people in our world today, and they're just looking for one of us in here, to fill their garden box with hope. They're out there, and they're looking, and they're waiting because their garden box is empty. Next week, we're going to talk about the dirt that gets put into our garden box. But as we leave tonight, you can stand with us. We're going to close and pray. One of the greatest things that we do, and I want you to think about this as we close and pray, people really do listen and look to you. Some of us in this room, we do feel important at times. For some of us in this room, maybe we don't feel important at times. No matter where you work, no matter what your station in life is, no matter your age, no matter if you're a man or a woman, your life is important. You are important. You really mean a lot to God. And what God needs you to do is wholeheartedly seek him, so that the people in your lives can see God in you.